You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Third and final hour for tonight's live broadcast of Saturday, December the 14th. James Edwards and now Eddie the Bombardier Miller as my wingman for the third and final. Want to jump straight back into news, and this is, as promised, during the first hour, we're going to circle back and talk a little more about some of the ramifications of the Mandela funeral. There was an excellent article posted at alternativeright.com entitled How the Maggots Hang. And this is what it reads, and I'm going to toss it over to Eddie for commentary. It'll tie into the last story we were covering in the second hour. You've all seen the pictures from the Selfie Gate scandal with President Obama and his British sidekick David Cameron doing a selfie sandwich on the attractive blonde Danish prime minister while the first lady smoldered to one side like an angry lump of coal. What makes this so shocking is that it took place at a time when Barack and Dave were scripted to be biting their lips and looking teary-eyed into the distance as the great steam cloud from the stadium rose up into the air and assembled and assumed the genial and senile guise of Mandela himself. Instead, the gruesome twosome showed even less reserve and dignity than the interpreter who scat sang the sign language for all the speeches that echoed out of this Nuremberg of the non-entities. Nowadays, even our world leaders seem to be famous just for being famous and accordingly behave like C-list celebrities. Whatever it was, Selfie Gate was an iconic moment of truth that showed us the curtain slipping and gave a mass audience an unflattering glimpse of the backstage and the low caliber of the characters who supposedly rule us. But it also showed something else. Major funerals are one of the few occasions when politicians can set aside the pretense of representing national and party interests. But dropping the mask in this way always raises the real danger of revealing the loathsome creature behind it. This is where the article gets important, folks. I want you to really pay attention to what I'm about to read. On a day-to-day basis, the media typically edit the visual information they gather to present our political leaders in compelling ways as distinct entities and men and women with their own views and ideas. They are typically shown speaking before large crowds or political gatherings, persuading or combating alternative ideas. This is all part of the great smoke and mirrors show that remains psychologically compelling, even though we know it to be a sham. The Obamas, the Camerons, the Mandelas of this world are represented as distinct leaders of distinct countries, parties, and interests, when the reality is they are all members of a big international club with collective interests, united against the various tribes of people whom they trick into emotionally investing in them and voting for them. To get a taste of this side of the curtain, check out the pictures we have available for you at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, which show just how close together the leaders of America's political parties are when they're not treading the boards painted in their political grease paint. The photos that you'll find on our website, folks, shows the Obamas, the Bushes, and the Clintons all traveling together like one big happy family to South Africa last week. Sure, they're all coming together for a funeral, but the coziness of the situation and their body language tells a different story altogether. Corpse or no corpse, this is how these maggots hang. And if you look at the pictures, Eddie, you'll see George Bush hugging on Hillary Clinton. You'll see him showing pictures to Eric Holder that I guess he took or drew Obama and Bush just grinning ear to ear as if they were lifelong friends. Now, let me tell you something. I would never go on a vacation with George Bush or Eric Holder or Barack Obama. If I was pitted against them in a debate or someone like them, I would be cordial. I might exchange pleasantries. But there would be no commiseration after the fact. There would be no breaking of bread with people who are moral enemies and stand against everything that is righteous and decent. I would not pal around with them. I wouldn't go on trips. These people really do love one another. And if you don't believe it, folks, you know, who are you going to believe? Me or your lying eyes? Go look at these pictures. That goes above and beyond cursory politeness. They all play for the same team. This article just reminds us of that. The pictures do one even better. They are all Mandela, Clinton, Bush, Holder, you name it, conservative and liberal establishment elites here in America. They are all on the same team. And who is their enemy? Who are they playing against? If there's a team, there's got to be sides. The people. Eddie?
You know, you stole a little bit of my thunder, but you didn't steal all of it. I hear a little bit off in the distance. You know, if you will look at these photographs, incidentally, I put it on my Facebook page and sent it to all my brethren in my church and all my other friends on Facebook. These photographs that James is talking about on our website, if you want to see the most sincere photographs you've seen, if you want to see these political hacks in their real, true, the way they really are, and James is right, they are birds of a feather. They and they're birds of a feather in that they have absolutely no redeeming virtues as we here in the political cesspool have as Christian conservative white folks. Well, that's right. They have no morals. They have nothing, no ethics at all that you would even consider ethics. They have one ethics, and that is they are all in the same club that they do. They take their marching orders from the people that control the government. You know, the Congress of the United States, you know, the Parliament in England and France, we have no representation at all. They're completely, totally owned by the same globalist bankers. And they have been, I would imagine, probably since Wilson, at least since Wilson. Let me tell you this. I'm going to try to explain this as fast as I can. I'm not putting myself off to be an intellectual or a college professor, but let me tell you what. There is no such thing as a super rich person who is a capitalist. They are not capitalists. We here in the political cesspool are more like true capitalists. They despise capitalism. What they want, the people like your Rockefellers, your Carnegies, your Bill Gates, your George Soroses, or your Warren Buffets, you know, they want total monopoly. They do not want any competition. And the best way on earth you can get competition is you have to get control of the government. Once you get control of the government, you can call it fascism, communism, socialism, just pick your ism. Just pick whichever ism you want. If you have the money, you're a multi-billionaire. In the case of Rockefellers, they're trillionaires. You own the government. You have a government monopoly. And that's the way you totally eliminate all competition. People, it looks like we're getting ready to go to another money-making break here because, you know, we have to keep the lights on. And we'll continue this conversation when we come back. I hope I don't need 67 years old almost. I hope I don't lose my train of thought. Some boy will have to keep me on guy with his young brain.
We'll try when we come back.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
The great Vaughn Monroe, and that reminds me of another great and classic Christmas movie. That song plays as the credits roll at the conclusion of Die Hard with Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman. Two great Christmas movies we've covered tonight, Lethal Weapon and Die Hard. Welcome back to the show. James and Eddie here, and we were talking there in that last segment about how there is no opposition when you rise to the level of national prominence in the Republican and Democratic duopoly. They are a collection of thug leaders. There is competition to the extent that it can be managed, or in other words, there is managed competition. They will allow these two to spar rhetorically to make the people believe that there is some sort of a difference or some competition. But at the end of the day, no matter who is elected, even if on the off chance they go in with some semblance of sincere beliefs, what happens once they're in office? They get bought off by the millions, or in some cases hundreds of millions of dollars that it's funneled into their campaign packs by people like George Soros. So at the end of the day, they are all bought and paid for. And they are on the same page. It's evident in the pictures, and you're hearing about it here on the Political Cesspool, a radio program that as of this moment, 8:22 p.m. Central Standard Time, on the evening of Saturday, December the 14th, 2013, is the sixth most listened to show in the country online right now, number six in the country. They tell you that this is a message, the message that we delivered that has just a small and dying audience. Well, let the facts and the statistics prove otherwise. Number six. We've never been higher, though, than number four. Maybe we can do that tonight. Each one reach one. We'll be number one. But number six in the country right now online, and again, folks, that doesn't even count, doesn't even take into account those listening to us on the AM and FM dials. It is why this show needs your support, why you must respond to our crucial fundraising drives each quarter. We are building something here that is very special. People who listen in the broadcast archives in between. So many members of our audience listen to the show after the fact. They don't catch it live. They listen to it between live broadcasts. So, folks, huge audience. Anyway, Eddie, back to you. We were talking about the controlled opposition, how they both play for the same team, all going over there to, you know, praise and gush over the terrorist Nelson Mandela. I know you probably wanted to talk a little bit about Mandela's legacy too, but Mandela, no different than Bush or Clinton or Holder or Obama. You see this picture of George Bush and Michelle Obama, like they're the ones that are married, and they were all in it together.
You know, you're absolutely right. I'm going to get back to you and I'm explain, come back to communism, and I'm going to explain why the world powers that be loved communism. You know, if you were like me, a child of the 50s and 60s, we grew up, we had to read, Masters of Deceit by J. Edgar Hoover, how, you know, the Book of Bear of Communists. Well, the great Anthony Sutton out of the Hoover Institute at Stanford University explained all that. One of his best books was The Best Enemies That Money Can Buy. Well, what you got is, you know, communism. I got to make this real fast. I don't have much time. Communism was created and bought. I'm sure Sam knows all about this. Was created pretty much by Wall Street here in the United States, by the rich, investment bankers on the Northeast. And what they do, see, they want to concentrate all the money in the world. And the end result of money, the object of getting the money is the power. They worship power. And the object of power is to get power, just like the object of torture is torture. The object of slavery is to put you in slavery. Well, the best system they've been able to come up with to concentrate money and to concentrate people, to concentrate control over people, is communism. It was created, and don't take my word for it. This is you can go up and look it up for yourself. But the very richest people on earth, the Kuhn, Loeb, Brown Brothers, Harriman on the East Coast, they funnel millions, billions of dollars to the Red Russians in the Soviet Union. They sponsor communism everywhere there is, because see, in a communist government, you have just a very few people sitting at the top that control all the money, all the power. The people have nothing. That's why it's such a sham. And when I was in school, they said, well, communism was started at the ground by the masses with, you know, having a revolution. Well, you don't have a revolution to put in a dictatorship. You have a dictatorship to control the revolution. Well, you know, I'll explain that pretty much the best I could. Now, these people, just like James said, was Mandela, where it's Bush, it's Reagan, they all serve a purpose. Now, Mandela was, he was the head, if I remember right, the terrorist wing of the African National Congress, right, and the South African Communist Party. All right? He wasn't exactly a useful idiot. He was a little bit higher ranked than a useful idiot, because they used him in there because he was black. He could come into Africa and he whip all these Africans up, what few that he needed on his side. He whip them into shape, get them in this communist party, and see, I can guarantee you, anytime you want to go to any of these countries that have gone communist over here in Africa, if you see the black populace, they are absolutely destitute. We covered this on this show not long ago about my church going over there, ministering to the people over there in mud huts, eating manioc root 3 meals a day, no clean water, nothing. They're just absolutely destitute. And that's the way the powers the world powers to be, the millionaires, the trillionaires, want it. And the people that are under it can't see it. This is the same way the less intelligent people in this country here, our poor blacks and our poor browns, and even we have a lot of poor whites that are sucked into this Obamacare and this, Medicare and, Medicaid, the Social Security. It's just all a sham, and that's the way they get control of people. They make you think you're going to get something for nothing, and you're not. But to condense this in a nutshell, these people that are super rich, They have to have total government in order to consolidate their monopoly on everything and all the natural resources of the world. And these clowns you see on, Bush and Reagan and Obama, well, I guess they're not really clowns because they got a lot more money than I do and they have a cush life. But they're totally empty. They're just, a lot of them are intelligent in that they can act real good. They have good memories. They can read a prompter. But that's all they are, people. They're united in their filth. They're united in their, in their low morals, and they're united in the way they just loathe the American public. They think that they are the elite. In fact, they're talked about as the elite, and it is an incestuous relationship with these people, and they want to keep the money and the power to themselves. But there's absolutely no difference in these people. I remember I saw some years ago, James, when Clinton was supposed to be, when he was just gotten into the White House, and the Clintons and the Bushes were supposed to just hate each other. I saw a photograph with Poppy Bush was in a big speedboat with Clinton, and they were out, deep sea fishing and skiing and just having a high old time. And here are these arch enemies. But I would like to go back to these photographs, people, one more time. You need to go to our website and see these photographs. If you want to see the most sincere photographs, these people being their self in their natural habitat, they love each other because they're the same damn team.
We'll be back, folks. Eddie the Bombardier Miller doing it Bombardier style here on the Political Cesspool.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the racist political cesspool radio program where we play Chuck Berry music. You know, I will tell you this. I do like a lot of the... Of course, I like all of the music from the 50s and 60s, almost without the exception. And so, you know, hey, listen, the Black Singers were great too, especially some of the Motown, early Motown groups. Smokey Robinson's coming down to Tunica, if you count Smokey as black. And I might just go see him. You know, unfortunately, though... That would prove to be some of the greatest gifts that was given to our society, by a particular group of people. Music, which is trivial, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. I mean, some's not. I mean, Good King Wenceslas. We were listening to that in the second hour. I mean, that's soul stirring stuff. But Run Run Rudolph's still pretty fun. Anyway, Eddie, we're going to go to this story. If Sam can cue it up, we're not going to play it just yet, but in about 2 minutes, we're going to talk about this 6-year-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed child, 6-year-old boy, suspended from school and charged with sexual harassment for kissing a fellow classmate on the hand. This was a girl he kissed on the hand, which is probably why they're so upset. We're going to get to that in 2 minutes, and we're going to go to that clip and talk a lot about it, but very quickly wrap up what you were saying before the last commercial break about this whole Mandela affair, the controlled opposition, the fact that, communism, obviously, you know, who would vote for communism? Did it work for the rank-and-file Russians or the rank-and-file Cubans? Finish up your thoughts, and let's go to another story.
Yes, you can go to any communist nation you want to go to, and they're absolutely just destitute. You know, look at Haiti, look at the Dominican Republic, and it's like Truth said earlier. It's also in the fascist governments. Some reason the multi-billionaires like the communism. But I'd like to talk about the topic now about enemies. The matter of fact, we'll talk about the best enemies that money can buy. Going back to the great Anthony Sutton again, who wrote a book on that. Is about above my head. But in government, one of the better ways that governments can keep the people under control is through fear. There's many types of fear. One of the greatest fears they can they have to exercise control over people is the fear of being humiliated, the fear of being laughed at, but also the fear of physical danger. That's why we had the great communist scare that I lived through back in the 50s. I remember getting under my school desk when I was in first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, waiting on the Russians to nuke. The Russians in East Tennessee, they call them Russians to nuke us. That's why we have the terrorists right now that we're always fighting. You know, the government, that we know there's no terrorists out there. You know, they're putting them on. But yeah, the government of the United States, the shadow government, we financed the Soviet Union. At the same time, we were financing Nazi Germany, fighting each other a big war. And who, you know, it doesn't matter. The United States, the people, the powers to be, they didn't care who won because they're going to control both of them. You know, you can look at when David Rockefeller went to the Soviet Union back in the 60s and got Nikita Khrushchev fired. You know, it makes you wonder. We had the chief of the Communist Party USA was in here in the United States when she finally wised up. I can't remember her name, but she was a brilliant lady. She's a big communist. And when she was having trouble getting her orders from the Soviet Union, she talked to one of her another handlers and asked her how could she get her communiques. They sent her to see the David Rockefeller's office. And when she wised up, when she saw, she said, I'm getting my orders on how to run my communist organization from the biggest capitalist in the world, David Rockefeller. She finally wised up. But yeah, you got to have an enemy. That's why we supply the communists. That's why we supply the Nazis, all these other dictators. We build them up. You know, Saddam Hussein, he got out of line. They gave Saddam Hussein the green light to go into Kuwait. They did. The United States did. When he went in, They killed him. They said, you know, they backstabbed him, just like the British did Hitler in World War II. They gave him the, okay, go ahead and invade Czechoslovakia and Poland. We don't care about them. The day he did, they branded him as an evil, you know, as an evil, you know, a conqueror, a terrorist. And that's why they do. You got to have an enemy to keep the people in line. The people in World War II were scared to death being invaded by the Germans, the Japanese. Now we're scared to death of the terrorists behind every bush. But you got to have an enemy to keep people under control.
That's great, Eddie. That you're absolutely right. The terrorists behind every bush. That's it. That's it. Eddie's really excited now. He's still talking, but his mic's off. Eddie said he can't go to the bathroom at night because he's afraid he'll find a terrorist in his underwear. But they'll check it. But they'll check that for you in the airport. If you want to go get on a flight, they'll make sure there's not before you can get on. Keep you safe. All right. Enough monkey shines. A 6-year-old boy was suspended from school in Colorado a couple of days ago and charged with sexual harassment for kissing a girl in his class on the hand. Let's go to this minute-long clip, and then we'll try to talk about it.
Well, as kids, we're taught to keep our hands to ourselves, but what about our lips? One little boy is learning that lesson the hard way. Action News reporter Megan Tellis joins us now to explain. Megan.
Well, Jackie, the 6-year-old Colorado boy has been suspended from school for kissing a classmate on the cheek. His mother says it's a crush and the two children like each other, but the school is calling it something else, sexual harassment. The little boy explains what happened.
I was doing class here. We were doing a reading group, and I leaned over and kissed her on the hand. That's what happened.
Both the little boy and his mom admit he's had some other trouble at school, too. He's been suspended from roughhousing and for kissing the same girl on the cheek. But mom says regardless, what happened was not sexual harassment. The school district's superintendent doesn't agree and says the boy's suspension will stay on his school record. Mom says she's going to fight it. Steve, Jackie, kissing at 6 years old, this is a controversial topic. So back to you guys.
Controversial.
He's a cute one, though. At least he's cute.
I don't know. Let's not overdo what it was. It was pretty innocent at that age.
All right, this kid's parents even did him the service of naming him Hunter. They gave him a good, strong, masculine name, and there is nothing wrong with this boy at all. That this would become a problem worthy of media attention. The Western nations are drowning in moral filth, and this is something that that people are worried about, that school administrations are worried about. If he was a black boy and he kissed that same girl on the hand, I guarantee you they would have set him up with a National Merit Scholarship. It would have been the greatest thing ever. Look at how we're overcoming racism here. They wouldn't have said anything about it if for no other reason they would have been afraid of being called a racist for suspending a black boy for kissing a white girl. If he had kissed another boy, they wouldn't have suspended him for fear they would have been labeled as homophobic. This is perfectly normal behavior. What they call troubling behavior is normal. 6-year-old boys roughhouse. They run around. They chase girls, or at least they should. I guarantee you, first of all, that the next date that this kid has is with some sort of doctor that's going to get him hooked on Ritalin, you know, because he's too hyper. He roughhouses. Yeah, we got to do something about this. We got to get him on mind-altering drugs to take away all that. You know, there was a great post that was put on our website in response to the story. I'm going to read it. Something I'm sure you can relate to, Eddie.
I've had experience with a teacher with like.
Back in the late 1940s, one of our fans writes, I attended third grade school in the little town of Glen Allen, Mississippi. I doubt they even have a school there anymore. Toy guns were okay, and we played cowboys and Indians and some other boy things, but the most fun we had was a special game of chase at recess. There were less than 20 students in the entire grade, and 4 or 5 of the girls had that many of the boys in their gang. The boys would chase the girls, and when we caught them, we'd kiss them. The girls would run, squeal, and giggle, and if a boy tried hard enough, he could almost always catch the girls before recess was over. The girls liked it. It was understood that all the girls were there to be chased, not just your special one. I was very pleased that I was chosen by the boys and accepted by the girls. I finished third grade in a school where boys and girls seldom played together.
I would very much like to see my great-great-grandchildren attend the all-white schools like that one in Glen Allen. Eddie, you go back to the 40s. And, you know, that was normal behavior back then. It should be normal behavior now. I'm hearing that a female has apparently written that this, if I'm understanding you correctly, that the there's an article out there that suggests this boy could grow into be a rapist because of this behavior. A prediction, rather. A prediction has been made that this boy, because of this troubling behavior, chasing girls, having energy, trying to kiss a girl on the hand, 6-year-old innocent boy, a baby, suspended from schools, charged with sexual harassment, and people, commentators, are predicting that he could be a future rapist. We got to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going straight to you, Eddie, and I want you to tear into this with every bit fiber of your being. This is crazy, crazy stuff.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks, but it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. A final segment of tonight's fast, fun, and ferocious installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be back with you next Saturday, live as always, exclusively here on the Liberty News Radio Network. This story we were talking about, Eddie, about the six-year-old boy, I said hand, I guess he kissed her on the cheek, same difference, suspended from school, charged with, right, I think the story said hand and the news report said cheek, but either way, I mean, it's irrelevant. Suspended from school, charged with sexual harassment, people saying he might grow to become a rapist because of this troubling behavior. This story was actually sent to me by our good friend Courtney in Alabama, who's a huge fan of the show and a regular commenter on our website, has actually been a guest this year on the program as well when she came up to Memphis, and just a fine lady, a wonderful representation of our audience. And she wrote that she was about to cry when she heard about this story, and that she knew she had to send it to us here at the Political Cesspool, that this child was basically only a baby. She writes that the society is torturing these boys, and she's had enough of it. Her boys that she is to give birth to one day will not be going to public school. Eddie, I know you've been salivating to talk about this one.
I hope I get to my – I have a run-in with a teacher with my grandson when he's in the first grade, but I'm going to save that to last. Now, this is the way I look at it, people. I think what you have here is just it's a symptom of the overall attack on the family, because in the classic Christian family in America, in the West, you know, Anglo-Saxon Europeans, you have to have a male and you have to have a female. And these feelings of affection are innate. I knew I liked girls in the first grade. I had a little girlfriend in the second grade. When I was in the second grade, the teacher put boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, because he found that when she put the boys with the girls, we were better behaved. We didn't wrestle. We didn't fight, because we didn't fight the girls. You know, we didn't fight the girls. We'd fight the boys. Well, I had a little girlfriend in the second grade. I idolized that little girl. But see what they're doing? It takes a boy and a girl to grow up to be a daddy and a mommy. And they get together and they consummate the marriage and they have children. What this is an attack on the family. Whether or not they did it on purpose or not, I don't know. But the results are the same. They're instilling in this kid, in these children, what they're trying to instill into them is it's evil, it's bad if they have a normal, healthy affection and love for their fellow humans, and especially their fellow, you know, for the female gender. You know, even when I was a kid, I always had this desire to protect women and children at a young age. That's what they're doing. This is an overall attack on the family. And it's classic Orwellian. I mean, it's right out of Orwellian doublethink. Now, let me get to my little anecdotal story. When my grandson, who's now a freshman at the University of Memphis, when he was in this first grade, he was going to a private school here in Memphis, and he had this dingbat teacher that I could not stand. I had to go up there and pick my grandson up about twice a week from school. It never failed when I pull up in there, this witch would come run outside complaining because, you know what? She complained because he was too loud in the gymnasium at recess, or he was wrestling with some other boy. The little boys were always in trouble because they were wrestling, getting too rough housing. She came out one day, and this is how Pawpaw took care of it. She came out like the witch, flopping her arms, telling me all this kind of bad crap what my grandson had do. And my grandson, first grade, he went outside, rolling in the grass, playing army. School was out. I tore into her. I said, lady, have you ever had anything positive to say about one of the little boys here at the school? Let me tell you what. Let me set you straight, oh, lady. My little grandson, if you pull his pants down and look, he doesn't have any lace on his underwear. And he never will have lace on his underwear. He's a little boy. He likes playing with guns. He likes playing with fire trucks and bulldozer. He likes wrestling. He likes football. He likes baseball. He doesn't like hugging little boys and kissing them in the closet, and he never will. And as long as you live, don't you come out here complaining to me about my grandson for him being a normal, red-blooded kid. Don't you do that. I'm telling you, for your own good, do not come out here doing it again. The witch, she turned tail, went in and crying, complaining to the principal. So I just parked my truck, and I went in there and read the rights to the principal and that teacher, too. Teacher was not there the next term.
I believe that about you, Pappy. You are the Bombardier. It's a nickname that was earned, not given.
But it's attacking the family.
That is an attack on the family. This boy will be traumatized from this. He will not recover fully from this. I guarantee you that. He will remember that. He's old enough at 6 years old. This will affect his future, and I hate that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but odds are that this could be trouble for him because of the extreme stress that he's been put under for completely normal behavior. Again, an America where you have such a moral rot, where evil is good and good is evil. This boy suspended by an administration at that school that undoubtedly would stand proudly in defense of homosexuality and how great diversity is. Suspend someone for taking a Confederate flag to school. Suspend this boy for having energy and being attracted to... I don't know. This is sick, sick, sick. But you got to... Real quick, because we got to get to this last story.
James, to put an exclamation mark, you nailed it, son. To prove your point, this school is probably one of the very ones we hear on the news that have these same gender bathrooms where if a boy says he's a girl, he's allowed to go in there and dress with the girls and watch the girls undress, and that's okay. But I guess that's not sexual harassment to be a 13, 14-year-old black teenager and to want to go into the bathroom and watch the little white girls undress. That's not sexual harassment right there. But to this little white boy who has the normal, just a normal human affect, God innate, given innate affection for girls and probably affection for his mom and dad, that's bad. That's classic Orwellian satanic doublethink.
If there's anything more ridiculous than this story, and it'd be hard to find, but I believe you might have done it, Eddie, Megyn Kelly, the Fox News hostess who supplanted Sean Hannity in that cushy time slot immediately following Bill O'Reilly, has come under fire this week for suggesting that Santa Claus is based off of a white legend, the legend of St. Nicholas. Of course, there really was a St. Nicholas, and I doubt he was black, but there was some sort of I've read parts of this story. There was some sort of a debate or people complaining about the ethnicity of Santa Claus, and she turned to the camera and said bluntly, Santa Claus is white. I mean, what are we even talking about this for? Obviously, it's based off German legend, and Germany at the time of St. Nicholas, that part of Europe, was pretty racially homogenous. Eddie, you know more about the story than I do. I'm going to do a little more research on it and put it up on the website on Monday. But she's come under fire for this. Obviously, she's dodging accusations of racism. She missed a day's worth of work. She didn't go back on the air the next day. They said she had a cold. She might go on the air next week and say, I was wrong. Santa Claus is black. And if you think he's white, you're a racist. But, I mean, come on. Santa Claus obviously is a white story. Santa Claus is white. I mean, to even, you know, what are we going to have next, as you said? Are you going to have a hostess come on the air and say, breaking news today, folks, water is wet. And they say, what are you talking about? How can you say something so controversial? Obviously, Santa Claus is white.
You know, getting back to Orwell and double think and double speak again, is another classic example. You see it everywhere in life now in the news. I mean, we have an absolute fact, a cold, hard fact. Santa originated from an Anglo-Saxon European nation, namely Germany. And to speak a known fact, like and maybe the oversimplification, but I agree with James. It's like, you know, if you say that water does not run uphill, it runs downhill. That's how ludicrous it is to people sit there and ridicule this lady and attack this beautiful news lady for saying the obvious that Santa is white, to attack her for that. It's just insanity. And now the only people that will be insane are the people that are subjected to this double speak, double think, this cognitive dissonance. You know, and the difference, I understand between cognitive dissonance, I'm going back a long time when I had psych. People that have cognitive dissonance, they actually know they have a conflict in their body, in their mind. They know it, and they have trouble from that. If you have, now the double speak and double think, you really don't know it. But kind of getting off the track right there. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to put this on society, this double think and double speak in society. They're trying to drive people insane. We're going to break, folks.
Well, we're breaking until next week, but folks, listen, if you're a racist for suggesting Santa Claus is white, quit trying not to be a racist. You can help it. If you're white, you're a racist, and that's just the way it is. Read Racism, Schmaceff. So for Eddie, Keith, the rest of the crew here, and for our staff in Utah, our team in Utah, God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next week, the last show before Christmas, and can't wait for it.